So our first reading today comes from the book of Job. And the book of Job is basically, the entire book is about the question of theodicy. Theodicy addresses the issue, how can an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God allow evil to manifest itself? Or said a different way, with a question I'm sure you always have heard, you've heard before, is why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? So to properly look at this question, we have to look at a few assumptions that are behind it. Three in particular. The first assumption is, who is a good person? I think if you ask yourself that question, you say, well, someone who, you know, tries to live a godly life, is active in the family, works hard, chews with his mouth closed, you know, these types of things that we think, okay, this is a good person. But does this good person ever do anything bad? Well, if the answer is no, we've witnessed the second coming. Jesus Christ is here again. Pack your bags. We are all going for a little ride. So, if the answer is yes, and this person does do bad things, then is this person really a good person? You shall know them by their fruits. Well, of course, we are all good people. God cannot make anything that is inherently bad. We are all his children. But all good people do bad things from time to time. So if bad things should never happen to good people, then it should be okay for bad things to happen to good people who occasionally do bad things. The second assumption deals with pain and suffering that is associated when bad things happen. So are pain and suffering bad? Well, of course they are. Pain and suffering tell us that something is wrong. Pain is the body's way of saying, get to a doctor. You go to the doctor and you say, I have pain here or here or here, and the doctor tries to figure out what's wrong. What is the cause of your pain? Suffering acknowledges a situation is wrong. There's some life situation that's causing you to suffer, like, oh, I can't believe this is going on at work, or this is going on whatever. So pain and suffering are always bad because they're indicators that something is wrong. But we know that pain can be transformative. As I think most of you know, I love to hike. So on Tuesday, not to brag, but to make a point, I hiked all the way to the top of Mount Diablo and all the way back down again. And I can tell you the last stretch, the legs had lots of pain in them. The lungs had lots of pain in them. My body is saying, what are you doing to me? Will you please stop? But we all know the expression, no pain, no gain. So it was wonderful. I spent pretty much 6 hours walking in nature, and I turned my cell phone off, and nobody could find me. And I was, you know, talking to God and hugging trees and having a great time. So emotionally, spiritually, and physically, it was very rejuvenating to get out there and to experience some pain for a beautiful gain. Other times, there's lessons to be learned, moral lessons for us to learn when we bring pain especially upon ourselves. About 20 years ago, I was diagnosed with a medical condition called cranium maximus, which means I have a thick skull. So growing up, when people said, don't do that, you'll hurt yourself, like, don't touch that stove, you'll burn your hand, as soon as they turned around, I was like, yeah, I'll show you. Ow! You know? And I did that many times in many different ways over the years, till I finally realized, you know what, you could actually listen to other people once in a while. They might have something to tell you. And eventually got through my thick skull, and I learned. I learned to say, you know what, pain and suffering are bad, but if I learn from them, I don't have to keep doing the same pain and same suffering over and over and over again. The third assumption deals with the question, why? And this moves us into the realm of the divine. Who is to say that we have to know all of God's reasons? Growing up, we used to say to each other, who died and made you God, right? That was a very popular saying when I was growing up. Well, we see this action, this principle in action in the book of Job again. We go to chapter 38. And in chapter 38, God has been listening to Job whine for a long time. Job's whining and whining and whining. And finally, God's like, really? Now it's my turn to talk. And we're told, it says, then the Lord answered Job out of the storm and said, who is this who darkens counsel with words of ignorance? Gird up your loins now like a man. I will question you, and you tell me the answers. Where were you when I founded the earth? Tell me if you understand. Who determined its size? Surely you know. Who stretched out the measuring line for it? Into where were the pedestals sunk? And who laid the cornerstone? Ouch, right? So after Job's winding up, God's like, really? You want to play this game? Bring it on. So after about four chapters of God setting Job straight, finally Job gets it. I guess he had cranium maximus too. And finally, Job says this to God. I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be hindered. I have spoken, but I did not understand. Things too marvelous for me, which I did not know. Therefore, I disown what I have said, and I repent in dust and ashes. So Job has that humility moment, that moment of clarity that says, you know what? Maybe God just might know what he's talking about. Now let's go to the foot of the cross. Imagine you're one of the disciples, and you're there, and you're thinking, whoa, we just saw our teacher, our mentor, our friend, our Messiah arrested, beaten, and crucified, and now he is dead. You can imagine in their mind, they're thinking, what about his mission? What about the kingdom of God that he promised us? From their perspective, at this moment in time, they could not understand the fullness of God's plan. Of course they couldn't. It has not been revealed to them yet. However, Christ's suffering and death was to become the means of our salvation. This would be revealed to the disciples and us on Easter Sunday, when Christ rises from the dead, conquering sin and death. So we can see Jesus Christ's suffering and death, two very bad things, were the means of our salvation, the greatest good we could ever hope for. So why do bad things happen to good people? We are all going to face bad things in our lives. We live in a beautiful world, a wonderful world, but it is a fallen world. Sin and evil are a reality. If we stay in the bad, if we stay in the problem, then we allow evil to win. However, if we put ourselves into Job's humbled position, if we put ourselves in front of the empty tomb, then we put ourselves in a position to ask some wonderful questions. We can ask ourselves, what good is the lesson that God is trying to teach me in this bad situation? How is God going to redeem this bad situation for my good and to bring about his kingdom? So the short answer to a very complicated question is, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, for our salvation, which is the greatest good we could hope for.